So the more you dig, the more you find the incredible love of the Father. I'm telling you, the more you dig, the more information you gather up, you find out more about the mercy and the love of God through all His plans and the sons of Jacob and Joseph and the plan that God has for them. You know, this was an emotional time for me because this was an emotional time for these guys, you know. It was an emotional God thing that happened here. There was no way that they or anybody could have planned it the way it happened. They were all in a spot, and they all came together in a spot where they had to be humbled. They had no choice. They were in a spot. And so when you sit down in your quiet time, I sat down in my quiet time, and as I'm reading in the book of Jasher, getting some of the synchronized details and reading in the Torah portions and going back and just going through it, I sit down and I think about, what were they thinking? What emotions were they going through when they all got drawn to that day? What was going on in the mind of Jacob? Go and see my son. There's a long space of time there. They were apart. Jacob, he thinks his son's dead all those years. Joseph, he's going through all this. Why I got to go through this? And he's got to just listen and follow instructions. And he does. And he loves the Father. And then you got the hard ones. You got Judah. You got Simeon. These are some hard guys. They're pretty tough. They had some strong battles you read about. They had anger. They had sexual immorality problems. They had all kind of things going on. And all of a sudden, here they come to this spot. They had to be humbled. And so I'm just thinking about what Judah's thinking. I'm thinking about what Jacob's thinking. The emotions. I can't do it now. I had my emotional a couple days ago. You know, I can't do it tonight. But then, I'm telling you, I was just thinking, I was crying. I was thinking about, like, God, holy, this is incredible. Thinking about Jacob, his thoughts about it, and all their thoughts. So it's a very emotional time when you gather up all that information and you're just thinking about each individual, what they're going through, and what God's thought about it the whole time, you know, from the beginning to the end of the plan. You know, His love about the whole situation. It was for each and every individual. You know, not every one of them was Joseph, right? Every one of them was an individual that God knew about and how to work them through to get them there at that place and save their lives. It's incredible. And His mercy and His love towards every one of them. It's incredible. So it was a very emotional God encounter for all of them. And, you know, thinking about each individual, you know, Judah and others with their wrong that they did, the humbleness, the mercy, and the hope gathered all together, the humbleness, the mercy, and the hope of not dying in a famine, right? Being all gathered back together. And what about the kingdom? Do you see a foreshadow of the same thing? What about the kingdom? After all that time, all that hard work, missing the mark a million times, repenting, enduring, and then one day we'll be there, right? Everybody's going to go through their times. How many times we've missed the mark? Missed the mark? Missed the mark? But you know, I'm reminded of I think it was in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 comes to mind. That right there was a helpful thing for me right there. That one right there, when I'm going through some times. And if you want to think about how God loves us, how much God loves us, I mean, even the worship song lined up with it tonight. You know, I know He's for me. And then you read in Zechariah how Satan's standing right there to accuse you every time you miss the mark. But then you think about David when he gave him the strength to bend the bow of bronze, to hit the mark. Let's hit the mark. You a firebrand. That's what God did. He made Joseph a firebrand. He made Judah a firebrand. He made Jacob. He made Simeon. He made Brother Preston. He made me. He made Beck. He made all of us a firebrand. Unique. Everyone is unique. Every one of us is unique. And I know we can hit the mark. We can. We got Yeshua to step in our place so that every time we miss, we could try again, right? We could hit the mark. And just, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So whenever you miss the mark, you think about what you did. You think about, how can I get up again? But then God rebuked Satan, right? Yeshua stood in our place. We can get up. Let's try it. Repent. Repentance. Get down. Repentance. Try again. And hit the mark. It says in Zechariah chapter 3, it says, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are assigned. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch, for behold, on the stone I have set before Joshua, I will engrave its inscription. But the main key here is every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree. It's not just us neither. We make the mark. We make it, being light and salt. We're bringing our neighbors in with us, right? If we don't make the mark, how are we supposed to make help somebody else make the mark, right? So getting back to Joseph and Jacob and Judah, there's a part in the book of Jasher I have to read because it's synchronized. I mean, it was two parts. I noticed one tonight that I didn't see the first time. You know, in the book of Jasher, it talks about when Jacob was like, he was uncertain, but he said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to come back to my place of birth, Canaan. And then the Lord spoke to him in the book of Jasher and said, you need to go there. I'm going to make you a nation. That's what it said right here in the scripture. So that's synchronized, right? And then Jacob started thinking about, well, I don't know if my son's, you know, abiding in your rules and your ways. And he's like, hey, he's listening to everything I've told him to do. He's secure. And then he's like, well, I'm going. So it all synchronizes with the Bible when you read that and you read the book of Jasher. In the book of Jasher, there's a part that I want to read here because this was an emotional part for me. Because, you know, when you read the Bible, it's not in there, and you read the book of Jasher, this little detailed part, it happens, but it's not as detailed when you see it. I'm going to read it. It says, and when Jacob approached the camp of Joseph, Jacob observed the camp that was coming towards him with Joseph, and it gratified him, and Jacob was astonished at it. And Jacob said unto Judah, now remember in the scriptures it said Judah was supposed to go ahead, right? Judah was the forefront going ahead. Who's that man who I see in the camp of Egypt dressed in kingly robes with a very red garment upon him? And a royal crown upon his head, who has alighted from his chariot, and who is coming towards us. And Judah answered his father, saying, he's your son Joseph, the king. Can you picture or think about what Jacob was feeling at the time? He said, who's that guy in the red robe who just got off the chariot? He's coming this way, he's got the cleanness. And Judah says, hey, Dad, that's your son, that's Joseph. Can you imagine what he's thinking right now? Whoa, that's my son. He ain't seen him in all those years. That did something for me right there. I thought about it. I'm like, gosh. And here he comes. And Joseph came nigh and said, and Judah answered his father, saying, he's thy son Joseph the king. And Jacob rejoiced in seeing the glory of his son. And Joseph came nigh unto his father. And he bowed to his father. And all the men of the camp bowed to the ground with him before Jacob. And behold, Jacob ran and hastened to his son Joseph and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And Joseph also embraced his father and kissed him. And they wept. And all the people of Egypt wept with them. And the scripture just told us he wept for a while. I can only imagine how long. He hadn't seen his son for a long time. He thought he was dead, right? And here's Joseph. He didn't see his father for all this time. He's following what the father's telling him to do every step of the way in the pit. Every step of the way in the prison, and now he's in rulership over all of this, and now it's for this. Here comes the gathering together, and everybody's weeping. Everybody's in this emotional time. Can you imagine for the kingdom, all the hardcore stuff you went through, all the tests, all the trials, all the deception, all the lies, all the manipulation, all the things you go through, and all the time you're thinking about the kingdom, and you know, you endure. You just keep enduring. You get knocked down. You miss 1,000 times, but you try again. And then all of a sudden that day comes, right? It'd be an incredible day, the kingdom. And think about that. That's what we're talking about, the kingdom right now, right? It all comes together. So when I was sitting there reading these stories, just thinking about it a little bit, I was on the boat, and I was thinking about it. And I thought about Joseph being that type of Christ, you know. And I just could hear the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord just telling me, he says, listen, if you do what I tell you to do, follow my instructions, I'll get you out of this mess. But if you don't follow my instructions, there's nothing I could do for you. You got to follow my instructions. You got to listen. You have to listen. I love you and I'm all for you, but you got to listen. You got to do what I'm telling you to do. You got to be settled. You got to be anchored. You got to follow my instructions. But if you don't, there's nothing I could do for you. So the Father knows how to tend every person. We can learn from these stories. He knows how to tend to every person. Judah, Simeon, them guys was hard. And he knew how to deal with them and humble them. They had no choice. They were done. They were in a spot. We got to do this. Because, hey, we can't tell our Father. We got to tell our Father. And it was in a spot with that. Then now there's no food. We're going to die. We're in a spot. We have no choice but to humble ourselves. So I can think about a lot of Christians that might not want to submit to the truth and a lot of things going on right now. But there's going to be a day, hey, for the grain. All the money and all the stuff's going to run out. You're not going to have no choice but to submit. You're going to have to do something. You're going to humble yourself and say, hey, God's right. His plan is right. My way has got me in a pickle. We got to listen. We got to follow instructions. So no matter what situation, what location, at the same time, at the right time, it may take a long time, but God knows what he's doing. He's got the perfect plan, and he is incredible. Like I said, the more we pick through this and dig up the details, the more you find how merciful he is and how loving he is and how much he really does care for us. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 in the Torah portion tonight. In Luke chapter 6, 9 through 16. If you look in verse 12, I would ask you the question, what was Jesus doing before he elected the disciples? He says in verse 12, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to Elohim. And when day came, he called his disciples. So before he called the disciples, what was he doing? He prayed all night so he can hear correctly the right ones to pick, right? He didn't just lollygag around a little. He prayed all night to make sure he picked the correct ones, right? That's what I picked out of that. Also, you also read in Luke chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. He was listening and following the Father's instructions. He was healing people in the middle of a vicious religious group wanting to kill him, right? If we don't pray and keep the wood on the fire, we're going to keep missing the mark. The only way we're going to hit the mark right is we keep praying and putting wood on the fire. Jesus was right on target, on timing, all the time. Joseph was right on in his submission. Both saved many lives, right? We miss prayer, relationships, tending to studying, Torah portions on a daily basis. The fire will go out. I've experienced this. I've experienced this since we started the tour. There was times that I got busy. I said, tomorrow, you know, when you come home after you work for a full day, you can feel when the fire is getting dim. Your flesh takes over. There's no doubt about it. Our heads are filled with the knowledge of good and evil. And we start saying what we want to say off the top of our head. People may come across us the wrong way. We say what we want to say. You can tell when the fire gets dim. Because when it's ablaze, you don't say to certain things like you used to anymore. The fire is burning. You watch what you say. You watch what you watch. You pay attention to everything. Because this love is burning on the inside. It's this unquenchable fire of love, or the fire that's in you when you have that firewood going in there. I've experienced that. I've learned that. And so I be careful now to pay attention. When I get home in the afternoon, I'm digging something up. I'm reading something. I'm finding something. I'm praying so we can keep it up. Because you can tell when you miss. You'll start missing the mark. And it tells on you immediately. And that would bring us to Romans chapter 12, verses 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He kept the fire burning. He continually, on a daily basis, kept the fire burning. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 47. It says, starting in verse 5, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And these lay a multitude of valids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been in a valley for 38 years, and when Yeshua saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. And Yeshua said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. And now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. And they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Yeshua had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in place. And afterwards Yeshua found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. And this is the part I wanted to get to. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now the guy's been there for a long time, 30-something years, right? And he's sick. He's wanting to get healed. And it takes Yeshua the Messiah to come there and say, well, you want to get healed? Get up. You've been waiting for somebody else for all this time and not wanting to move. You have to do something. You have to get up. So he got up, and later on when he found him and talked to him, he said, sin no more. If you keep doing what you've been doing in the past, you're going to end up back by the pool with the sick people, and something worse is going to happen to you. So that's why it's so important that you quit missing the mark. Quit sinning. Quit doing the same thing you was doing. Let's get it right, right? You're sick at the pool. Ain't nobody here to help you. You done said it with your own mouth. Every time get someone, get up. You need to get up and quit sinning, right? So that's something we need to learn from when we read this. Quit sinning. Hit the mark. Don't miss it, right? Something worse is going to happen. You know, it may be finances. It may be a sickness. It may be an offense against somebody. Go ahead. Stay right there. Is it going to get any better? It's going to get worse. That's what the Messiah says. That's what he said to the sick person. You want out? I can help you. He said, just like his father said, sin lie at the door. You want to keep doing that? Hey, keep letting it in. You're not going to get anywhere. It's going to get worse. So that's what I picked out of that in the Torah portion. Got to listen. We have to listen. It's so important that we listen. Look down in verse 17. But Yeshua answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. What is the Father and the Son doing? They're working. What are we supposed to be doing? I got a salvation ticket right here. I don't have to do nothing. Where you get that hogwash from? I got a salvation ticket. I'm done. I make it in the kingdom. I don't have to do nothing. Well, the Father and the Son's working. You think you're going to get in the kingdom by sitting around doing nothing with a salvation ticket? That's the most craziest thing I ever heard of in my life. That's what I picked out of that scripture. The Father's working on our behalf. Yeshua's working for us on our behalf. We're supposed to be working. Pastor was talking about the lighthouse the other day. That hit me pretty hard right there. You know, we go through some rough days. That was a rough day out there for us. It's cold. It's brutal. The wind's blowing. You got to pay attention to what you're doing running them airboats. They got guys that sunk out there. Ducks on the brain, you ain't thinking, going out there and they sink, right? It gets tough. Now, when you're out there in that rough and you can't wait to get in to safe harbor, and you get in there, you see the lighthouse, you make it in, it's all nice and calm. They got other people out there. What are you going to do? I got my salvation ticket. I'm going to sit here and watch them all drown? No, you're going to risk your life and get out there just like Yeshua did and help save them. You're not going to leave them drown, right? You don't leave them drown. You got to get it back out there. I know it's cold. I know it's brutal. But that person's drowning. Talk about loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Get out there and help them. But just loving yourself and not your neighbors, I want to sit in my salvation packet right here. I ain't going to move. I made it. Let them drown. It's basically what you're saying and doing, right? We're just letting them drown. We got a job to do. There's a kingdom that's coming. And there's a lot of people that's going to miss out. If we keep missing the mark, staying by the sick pool, how are they ever supposed to get out? We got to get this thing right. We got a lot of work to do. You know, it all goes to loving our neighbor as ourselves. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. You know, there's many mornings that I get up and I read a Torah portion. But this week, I was troubled in some areas. I like to go to Psalms 119. And I like to get in that thing and I like to repent. And I like to give thanks. And it's a tool. It's a great tool to help you start digging. When you start digging and reading Psalms 119, it just gets you in a spot where you thank you, Father. Amen. I'm sorry, Father. Please forgive me. Please. And you read Psalms 119, and it gets you rolling. And you start repenting, and you start weeping. You know what I'm saying? It puts you in an awesome spot. That's a great one to read. Psalms 119. Helps us repent and keep us thankful. Acts chapter 7, verses 13 and 15. On the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was disclosed to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come to him, 75 persons in all. So Joseph's obedience and submission saved a lot of people, his family, and many he didn't even know. Many he didn't even know. Many. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So as we work together upon his return, let's stay steadfast after the Torah portions, prayer and study, proving ourselves unto God, keeping the fire burning, staying drawn near to him. We should not be shaken in mind. We should have enough to keep us from being shaken in mind. Many lives will be lost through panic and fear, but we will not succumb to fear if we follow instructions. Psalms 112. Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. See that? The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Oh, that done something for me right there. So we'll not succumb to fear. If we listen, we'll get out of this mess and he'll take care of us. But if we don't, again, there's nothing that he can do for us. As the Messiah and his kingdom draw near, let's listen and work hard for his coming. That's our hope, the kingdom. Zechariah again, chapter 3. We talked about that. Verses 1 through 10. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Think about that next time you feel like you're accused. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Who's the one that brings up your past? That happened to me the other day, and I thought about that. And I was paused for a moment. I was just thinking, thinking, and thinking. I'm like, wait a minute. That happened days ago. That's the past. Okay? And my Messiah has forgiven me. He's accuser. He's accuser of the brethren. I said, wait a minute. Hold up. You got to think about those things. You got to pause. And you got to think about what the Word says. It's your only way out. Right? You start getting shaken. You start getting fear of mind. Things start trying to hit you. The enemy starts throwing these things at you. I'm like, wait a minute. He's on my side. The Father's on my side. He says, I rebuke you, Satan, right? So wait a minute. And so that's when you strengthen up. And you puff up with the Word of God. And you say, you're the accuser. That's not true. That's not true at all. And you clear all that stuff out of your head. And you get rid of all that stuff and you just focus on the Word. And you make it through every time. You put up the shield of faith. You quench all the fiery darts. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The sword. The spirit. I'm telling you, make it through every one of them, because they're going to come harder and they're going to come harder. It's not going to get easier for the true believer and the Christian. He's going to keep throwing them. He's going to keep throwing them. He's just going to have to endure. And it's going to be like all the rest of these guys that went through all of it. And they made it in the end. That's what the kingdom's going to be like. We're going to make it in the end. We endure to the end. So again, Joseph was a firebrand used incredibly, and he was unique. Judah, Simeon, Jacob, all firebrands. Yeshua, our Savior, our Rabbi, and those firebrands under his command. That's us, right? Under his command. Our hope is the kingdom. It's coming. The grain was the source for salvation from the famine. His word is the anchor for our souls to endure through everything, right? So, Pastor, have you got anything? Okay. Anybody else? All right. We'll close in prayer. You want to close in prayer, Brother Josh?